Welcome to this episode of the We Travel There podcast. We're in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, with my new friend Fega Haresh, the co-host of the D-Listers of History podcast. Fega grew up in this area, and she loves the grittiness, diversity, and culture of the city. In this episode, Fega and I talk about eating a cheesesteak at Jim South Street, attending the West Philly Porch Fest, and exploring the Rodin Museum. You brought these three amazing experiences and so much more. If you know someone interested in visiting Philadelphia, I'd love it if you shared this episode with them. The show notes and our one-page guide to Fega's tips are available at wetravelthere.com/Philly. Now let's get started. The We Travel There podcast helps you travel like a local by interviewing guests from around the world to uncover the hidden gems of their city by finding out the best things to do, eat, drink, and see from a local's point of view. We love using hotel points to save money on travel, but figuring out the best hotel redemptions can be challenging. That's why we use Aways to research our trips. Aways was created to help bridge the gap between travelers and their loyalty programs. It takes the guesswork out of travel hacking by comparing cash and points prices for all the major hotel brands and destinations across the world, including this week's city. Sign up now at wetravelthere.com/Aways or use the promo code LEE2023 at Aways.com. Get $20 off your subscription. In early 2024, they're also launching flights, so you can see live miles versus cash price comparisons on airline travel. If you join before the flights program launches, you'll get access to the program where it goes live free for no additional cost. Remember to use the promo code LEE2023 to get $20 off your subscription. Hey, Fega, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Today we're talking about Philly. It's a city that I've loved to visit, you know, historical and in the sense where it was like where our first nation's capital was. And there's so much history and so many like great sports teams there and everything like that. So I had to have you on the show to be able to talk about your favorite things to do in Philly.
Yeah, I love talking about my city.
Right on. So what's your connection to Philadelphia?
I grew up in the area. My family, when they came over from the old country, came to Philadelphia. And I grew up in the suburbs, and now I live in West Philly.
Oh, fantastic. Right on. So obviously growing up there, you've seen, you know, even though the city is so historic, it's also changed quite a bit over the years and everything. If you had to describe like the people or the city in just a couple words, how would you do that?
Pugnacious. So we get a reputation that's well-earned of being a certain way.
Oh, sure, sure. No, I've, you know, as a big sports fan, I've witnessed, you know, some of the things that happen at some of the sports events and the infamous throwing stuff at Santa Claus at Lincoln
and
Field.
Punching, right? A horse. Punching a horse is the other one. happened more than once, which is weird.
Yeah. So yeah, it happens. You know, I mean, that's all right. So let's talk about some of the best things to do while we're there in Philadelphia. Like obviously, like we said, it was the first nation's capital. There's so many historical things that you can experience while you're there to kind of learn about our nation's history. What are a couple of the things that you'd recommend people do?
Yeah. So first, I just want to, we actually were not the first nation's capital. That was New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry. I'm a story guide. We were our nation's capital for about 10 years between New York and DC because there was no DC to move down to yet. Yeah. So things to do in Philly. I mean, obviously there's like America's most historic square mile and Ben Franklin's house, which is not really there anymore, but that's okay. And all of our various museums that are very famous. But I know your other guests have talked a lot about that. So the things that I would suggest outside that are a little bit more the off the beaten path things. So if you happen to be here around New Year's, the Mummers Parade is wild.
So what is that?
It's a little hard to describe. So mummers are a Philadelphia tradition that grew out of an English tradition. The original English tradition is people would dress up in weird costumes on, I think it was Christmas, and run around and knock on rich people's doors and demand food and things. In an attempt to control it a little bit, it grew into these clubs that put on performances on New Year's Day. And there's a couple different kinds of mummers. So the one that people usually think of are the string bands, and they are like marching band slash show choir. And the ones that tend to get people in trouble a little bit are the comic brigades, where they just kind of dress up in weird costumes and they are rated based on their enthusiasm. So they start drinking very early in the morning.
That helps with the enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah. And once the parade happens and all the judging happens, they all go down to what's called 2 Street, which is in deep South Philly, and they party, frankly. have a friend who used to live in that neighborhood, and he said it was a wild time.
So with these events around the Mummers Parade, obviously you're kind of like standing off to the side of the street, and then you then interact with everybody, like after, like you said, over on 2 Street?
Yeah, so you have a couple of options. You can just go see the parade, which a lot of people do. There's also, you can get tickets to see, there's indoor events for the like fancy brigades, and there's ones that are actually like show choirs. There's a lot of different stuff going on, and some of those are done inside rather than outside. The 2 Street thing, that's usually like not just locals, but like people who are local to 2 Street kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a subset of locals.
Anyone can go. Okay. It's just not official.
So it's not like clicky, you know, right? Or it's
no,
like-
but it's just not official. It's not like when you go see the main Mummers Parade, there's a level of people know that the country is watching them. When they're on 2 Street, they are not being watched and okay. are behaving accordingly.
The cameras are off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
Which is what makes it more fun in some ways. You get the real authentic South Philly Italian American experience.
Sure. Sure. And you said like this is around New Year's Day and everything like that. So at this time, is it generally pretty cold in Philly? I imagine oh, yeah. so because it's you know northern part of the U.S. and everything like that. But I understand also the weathers have been kind of changing there as well.
Yeah. So in the mid-Atlantic, we have always had what to me seem like mild winters. I lived in Chicago and in the snow belt in Ohio at various points in my life. So I enjoy what feels like mild winters, but it can get kind of cold. We get less of the like snowy, super cold that you might expect from Boston and more just slush falling from the sky.
Okay. And then like throughout the year, obviously if people want to experience the Mummers Parade, they're going to come there, you know, for New Year's Day and everything like that. But if somebody's planning their trip, you know, I have kids. And so like, you know, we have spring break and we have summer and Christmas break and stuff like that. But for those that don't have like those travel restrictions, like what time of year would you recommend people visit? And are there any other cool or unique events like that, that maybe people want to plan a trip around?
So I would definitely recommend spring or fall. It can get really humid and hot in the summer. So unless you're from the American South, where that humidity is going to be like no big deal, it can be pretty uncomfortable. Some other events that happen that are specific to times of year in June, usually the first or second weekend of June, there's the West Philly Porch Fest. And this is a really, really cool event where it's very DIY. People just get bands together and play on porches. So West Philadelphia is known for having these very large Victorian porches because this area was built up as a commuter community. So once we had electric streetcars, people started living further away from the central part of the city. Yeah, no, this was the burbs. And so as a result, it was very like early 20th century, late 19th century. So people have these giant porches. So you can go online and they always have a map of like where all the different performances are going to be. But you could just like walk around and enjoy the music. And the energy is really neat because it is really just the community coming together and sort of celebrating the beginning of summer.
That is really cool. Now, also like just kind of looking around and seeing what some of the best things to do in Philly, I saw that there's the opera, they have a Chinatown and some other, you know, great experiences like that you wouldn't normally think of when you're thinking of Philadelphia. So what are some of the things that you recommend along those lines?
So I love Chinatown. Our Chinatown it's not the oldest, it's not the largest, but what's really neat about it is the community there has worked really hard to maintain the authenticity of that community. And that's been hard won. The trope of people chaining themselves to bulldozers to prevent a highway from being put in, that's from our Chinatown. That okay. was us. the highway did get put in, but they have prevented a baseball stadium. And right now there's a big fight about whether or not a basketball stadium is going to be put in there. The people of Chinatown would like that not to happen. But they have worked really hard to maintain their community. And as a result, it's a really cool place where you can go in and there's just all these like little grocery stores and people have the selling groceries off like the side of the street kind of thing. And the restaurants are out of this world. My personal favorite is Dim Sum Garden, but there's a ton of great places there. Actually, one of the places there just won a James Beard Award really recently. Yeah, and it's just like a little hole in the wall place, and it won a James Beard Award.
That's fantastic. I think it's one of those things where I love it because obviously, you know, a lot of times you think of like these big restaurants and famous chefs and stuff like that. But also it's like recognizing, like you said, like kind of small hole in the wall mom and pop type of shops who make amazing food. A lot of times just don't get that same acclaim.
Yeah. And Philly is still very much a like working class family community. So we have a lot of that as you go into the neighborhoods.
Nice, nice. So you were mentioning there as far as like the basketball stadium and everything like that. Like I've been to a couple sporting events. Actually, I've actually been in 1 week. I went to a hockey game, two different football games, and a basketball game, kind of all the same thing. And what's really unique in Philly is that all of them are like within like a short walking distance, almost like you can hit a golf ball between each one.
Yes, I personally think that's great. I don't know why we're trying to change it. That's just my personal opinion.
I went to, I think it was a basketball game in the afternoon and then a hockey game that night or vice versa. But when you speak of like, you know, some of the fans getting a little out of it, we were sitting next to this lady and man, I thought she was about ready to hop on the ice rink herself and throw down when they start getting into some of the hockey fights. It was intense.
Yeah. I mean, we have a reputation and it is well-earned, especially when sporting events is concerned.
All I know is I was just happy. We were cool with her. We were, you know, having beers and joking around and we were on good terms. And I was happy that we were on good terms because, you know, I didn't want to have any issues. Right.
And this is the thing is like, it's generally all in good fun.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like every once in a while you hear about something happening because there's always jerks everywhere. But these stories you hear about, like, you know, we joke that like, oh, don't wear any Cowboys gear, don't wear the opposing team's gear, but people are just going to yell stuff at you. Like, it's not like dangerous.
Yeah, no, for sure. As long as you're not dressed like Santa, you're good. Right.
And that was just that one Santa.
No, but like you said, I like one of the reasons why we travel around to a lot of the cities is to be able to experience sporting events. Right. And that's one of the things that we love doing a lot. And what I found is like going to a sporting event when you travel to a city and embracing the local team, even if it is the Cowboys or the Red Sox or a couple of different teams I don't like, even if you're there and you're embracing that, it's like, it's just, you feel like you're part of the community. You feel like you're rooting with 20, 30, 40, 50,000 of your closest friends all rooting for the same team and everything like that. And I look at it as it's just like a way to kind of immerse yourself in the local culture.
Yeah, I love that. And we love our Eagles here. And we joke that during football season, we don't say hello. We say go birds.
Nice, nice. Well, let's take a step back. If people are planning to visit Philly, I know it's obviously a big international airport, both for domestic flights as well as if you're going across the ocean and everything like that. If somebody's flying in there, do you recommend them flying like American or Southwest or one of those type of flights? Or is there another airline you prefer?
I mean, I personally fly Delta, but that has more to do with the fact that my in-laws live in Atlanta, and that's usually where we're flying to. But we are an American hub, so that tends to be the more convenient flights are on American.
And then when we fly into to the Philadelphia airport there, getting from the airport to the city, do you recommend renting a car, taking public transportation, getting an Uber? Like, how do we get from the airport to the city, and then how do we get around?
I generally don't recommend getting a car in Philadelphia unless you are planning on going to like the outer neighborhoods or like the area outside. Like if you want to go to like Valley Forge or something, a car is going to be helpful.
And maybe if you do that, you're only going to rent it for like the day you need it.
Right. Because parking, especially if you're in Center City, is a nightmare. It's not on the level of Manhattan or anything, but it's still a pain. The reality is there's a reality television show called Parking Wars that was based around parking in Philadelphia. So like if you don't have to park a car, it's best not to. So the way to get from the airport, there's always the ride shares and taxis and so forth. And that works just like it does in any other airport. There's like a specific area now that's like the ride share spot. But there is a train that will take you from the airport to the Center City. And I like the train well enough. For me, it depends on how much luggage I have and what time it is, because it only comes like once every half hour at its like most frequent. So, you know, if you've got like small children with you or something, that might not.
Yeah.
If you just miss the train, that might not be a fun time.
Yeah. Especially like you said, if you're coming there in January for the Mummers Parade and you're waiting out there in the cold for another half an hour because you just missed the train, that's not going to be a pleasant experience.
Yeah, there's a little area you can sit inside, but it's one of those things that it depends on how much luggage I have and where I'm going, what I'm doing, and that kind of thing.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And just, you know, for people to remember is that big parts of the city are part of that historic older buildings where they weren't designed for cars. And so you got a lot of cobblestone streets in some parts of the area there as well. And so it's going to be either difficult or expensive to find parking.
Yeah. And even when you go into newer parts of the city, parking conventions are very strange. They differ depending on what neighborhood you're in. In South Philly, they'll park in literally the middle of Broad Street. I'm scared to do that. I don't understand when that's okay and when it's not. Complete mystery. Because out here in West Philly, we just park on the side of the street like normal human beings. You go to South Philly, there's a lot of weird stuff happening.
Yeah.
And some of the streets are super narrow. So if you're not accustomed to parking on those very narrow streets, like you have to like go up on the sidewalk to park. It's a whole thing. And it's just, if you don't need a car, I definitely recommend not getting one.
And there's big portions, especially, you know, when you're walking around and checking out some of the tours, you know, and we'll talk about the tour that you actually are involved with later on. But whether you're doing the tours or you're seeing some of the attractions, a lot of it's very walkable anyways, right? And so having a car just is kind of like a pain at that point because it's easy just to walk around.
Yeah, it's easy to walk around. And SEPTA, which is our public transportation system, generally gets to the places you want to go. And I mean, there's always ride shares.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, part of the other thing is that based on where you're getting your hotel, if you have a hotel that's centrally located, you don't even need to worry about it anyways, right? Because like you have your home base of the hotel. And like one of my favorite is like the Kimpton, that's the Monaco there, that's right kind of overlooking Independence Hall in that area. And so I get to stay at one of my favorite hotels and be right there in the middle of all the action. So are there any other hotels or that maybe have like kind of like that great local character beyond like it's like the cookie cutter brand hotels that you maybe a lot of people stay at?
Sure. So the sort of not just big brand hotels, we have a lot of boutique hotels in the Rittenhouse Square area. I live here, so I have not stayed at them. So I don't know exactly how they are, but they look very cute when I walk by them. Places like, I know there's one called the Franklin. This is if you just put in like boutique hotel Philadelphia, they pop up in Google. And those are really cute. And then, of course, if you're just looking for like convenience, the 12th and Market area, there's a bunch of like big name hotels there. Like there's a Lowe's, there's a Holiday Inn, there's a Marriott, I think there's a Hilton. But at any rate, there's a bunch of these hotels that are right there. And the reason 12th and Market is really convenient is Reading Terminal Market is right there, which is a big tourist attraction. And it's also fun. It's this big indoor market where you can get food and just hang out. It's a cool place. And also there is a train station right there called Jefferson Station that is part of our regional rail network that will get you to and from the airport, amongst other places.
Or if you are, you know, live in one of the cities somewhere along the coast there, maybe you actually take the train down instead of flying or something like that. You probably come into one of those stops.
Yeah. I mean, if you took the train if you took Amtrak from like New York or DC or something, you end up at 30th Street Station, but you can pretty easily get from 30th Street to Center City, either by taking the Market Frankfurt line, which is it's underground at that point. We call it the L because it's elevated at various points, but it is a subway at other points. And you can also hop on the regional rail at 30th Street if you want the swankier experience and go from 30th Street to 11th.
Now, one of the things that when people think of Philly, they think of Philadelphia cheesesteaks, right? And stuff like that. And I know obviously there's like the two big names that are kind of like the tourist attractions people know and everything. But the couple of times I've been to Philly, that's not where I went because either the long lines or they're kind of maybe overplayed a little bit or whatever. So what are some of the places that you'd recommend people go versus the more tourist attraction type of spots?
Yeah. What I always tell people is like, don't bother going to Pat's or Gino's. They're resting on their laurels. They might've had good steaks at some point. I don't know, but they're a mess and they're just like not very pleasant because they don't have to be. So my favorite place, and I don't always send people here because it kind of depends on how much, I guess, sort of how comfortable you are in urban settings. So if you are comfortable in an urban setting, so maybe you've traveled a lot in like New York and Baltimore and places like that, Max's Steaks is, a lot of people consider it to be the best cheesesteak place. It is consistently in the top rankings.
Oh, nice.
It is at, hold on, I wrote this down. Erie and Germantown. There we go. And so that part of the city is not economically blessed. So if you are not accustomed to cities, that might not be the most comfortable.
Oh, sure, sure.
Place to go. But they have good steaks and they're right. They're like attached to a bar where you can go sit down and get a beer and actually sit and eat your cheesesteak, which cheesesteak places oftentimes don't have places to sit. So that's always nice. They do often have lines, especially since Creed came out because it was featured in that movie. So just you just want to be ready for a wait. They have this sign up that says like, now with faster service. And it's like, I don't know how slow the service was before.
It's all relative. But, it's all relative, yeah. Right?
If you don't want to bother with the more involved experience, but you still want a good cheesesteak, where I usually send people is Ishka Bibbles, which is at 10th and South. They have two locations. 10th and South is the one that has seating and a bathroom, which is why I send people there. There's also another one at, oh gosh, it's across from Jim's.
Yeah, it was, speaking of gyms, when one of the times I was there in Philadelphia, that I was asking, you know, some of the locals, because sometimes they're, oh yeah, I just go to Pat and Gino's, because they're like, oh, tourists, just go over there. And I'm like, no, I want to, like, where do the locals go? And they actually recommended gyms. That's one of the things I love, and that's one of the kind of like the, how this podcast got started, because I'm like, I want to know where the locals go. I don't want to go where the tourist spots are. I want to go where you guys go. That way I can find out, like, what's like the real food from here, you know?
Yeah, apparently it's at 5th and South. I don't know where my brain went. 5th and South, that's where the Ishka Bibbles was seating. Jim's is, they were never my favorite, but people like them a lot. I like Ishka Bibbles better just because they put more cheese on. This is the thing with cheesesteaks is, when it comes down to it, a lot of it is just personal preference. Jim's puts a little less cheese on it, and that's why people like it. That said, Jim's had a fire a couple of years ago.
Oh, no.
And they have not been open since then. They claimed they were going to open the beginning of this year being 2024, and they haven't yet. So I don't know what's happening there. Hopefully they will reemerge. They say they will. So that would be something to check before going down there. People also like D'Alessandro's. It's a little bit of a hike to get out there. And frankly, if you're just going for the cheesesteak, like, we have perfectly fine cheesesteak places in the city. But there are people who are very, very dedicated to D'Alessandro's.
Nice. Okay. So we don't want to get like too much cholesterol in our system and everything like that. If we want something beyond cheesesteaks, like, what are some of the other types of food? Like you said, obviously you have a great Chinatown and you have some Italian neighborhoods and everything like that. So like, what are some of the other tastes that you can get while you're there?
So if you want to go someplace that's fancy, there's a lot of places in Rittenhouse Square. That area has all the like, the fine dining, as it were. My favorite place to go is called Charlie Was a Sinner, which is in Rittenhouse Square. It's a vegan restaurant, but like, if nobody told you, you wouldn't know. I actually, last time I went, there was a couple sitting next to my wife and I, and you could tell the husband or the guy was a little skeptical of this vegan thing.
Oh, sure.
And by the end of the meal, he was like, this is amazing. And they have great drinks. If I can afford it, that's my favorite place to go. But there's also a lot of fun places in Rittenhouse, like Harper's Garden and so forth, that, or Tallulah's Garden, that have like a lot of outdoor seating and they're really cute and stuff. We got lots of that kind of thing. My personal favorite thing to do, though, is to go to DeBruno's Brothers. And there's a bunch of them. It's a local chain now, but it got started in the Italian market. And they sell all kinds of stuff now. But their main thing is fancy cheese and fancy meats and things like that. And I like to go and just get some fancy cheese and some nuts. And they also, you can get things like different like egg salads and stuff, which sounds pedestrian, but it's, everything there is super fancy.
Nice. And like you said, if you're there like in the spring or the fall, maybe you stop in there, grab some stuff and then go have like a little picnic at one of the parks or something, right?
Yeah, it's my favorite thing to do. I love doing that. And a lot of the Center City, the Bruno Brothers do have a little bit of seating if you don't want to go sit in the grass. But it's just really lovely. And the park culture is very strong here in Philadelphia. So it's, the parks are a good place to go, like, people watch.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing all these amazing tips for Philly. But now it's time for the final countdown. If somebody only had time for one meal when they visited Philadelphia, where should they go and what should they eat?
Oh my gosh, my brain has just been like ignoring that question because I'm like, how do I choose just one? I would say Abyssinia. Abyssinia is in West Philly. It is an Ethiopian restaurant. It is amazing. It was our first Ethiopian restaurant, and we have a very large Ethiopian community here in Philadelphia. Their food's amazing and reasonably priced and all that stuff. But once you're done eating, you go upstairs and there is this fabulous whiskey bar that has like several hundred different beers, and the bartenders are all like experts. So you can just go and be like, I'm looking for like something that tastes like this. Or you can be like, I want to try a different kind of beer, but this is the kind of beer I normally like, and they'll give you some things to try. And they have music all the time. They recently expanded it, so there's actually seating, which is nice. It's the whole thing.
Yeah, that's really cool, especially like encouraging you to try something new. I love that aspect of it, right?
Yeah, I love that place.
So when you're ordering the meal at Abyssinia, like, you know, a lot of people aren't necessarily familiar with Ethiopian food and everything. What's like your favorite thing on the menu there?
They have these combination platters, and I just always go for that because everything's great. And
especially if you're not familiar with it, right?
Yeah, like, I struggle remembering.
You can try a little bit.
Yeah, I struggle remembering what everything is, so that I don't have to Google anything. I just get a combination platter. They have like a vegetarian combination platter and a meat combination platter, and it comes on this huge tray on top of this buckwheat flatbread that you use to eat with. And all of this flatbread in the city is basically made by one person that all the different restaurants buy from. And also, this is actually a neat thing. If you are gluten-free, you have to call ahead. But the original recipe for that flatbread is gluten-free. Now, the ones that they make typically are not, because just American palate just prefers.
Yeah, we want all the gluten. Give me extra gluten.
Yeah. Right? But if you call ahead, they can arrange to have some for you that's actually gluten-free.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, like you said, that you're kind of like raised in this area and have seen the city transform over many years. What's one of the most memorable stories you've had of being in Philadelphia?
I mean, the thing that always will pop up in my mind is we have a lot of people who are tour guides or storytellers who dress as various historical figures. And as a kid, I would always be so delighted when I would catch, like, he's not around anymore, but there used to be a guy who I think was Thomas Jefferson, and he would like hide in alleyways for smoke break. And I have definitely more than once seen a Ben Franklin sitting on the L with like a takeout container from like a Halal truck. So, and that always just tickles me every time that happens.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, we're so innocent at that age, right? And then when we see something like that, it's just like it scrambles our brains. We don't even understand what's happening.
Yeah, and even today, if I see it, I just find it so charming. It's just, I feel like it's the only city where you can go on the L and somebody is dressed in full Revolutionary War garb and nobody even looks at them twice.
That's so cool. Well, speaking of good times and happy memories, where's the happiest happy hour in Philadelphia?
So the place I mentioned upstairs at Abyssinia is very good. My personal favorite is, I promise not every restaurant catches on fire here in Philadelphia. My favorite place is currently closed because it caught on fire, but it's called The Barn. And it is, I'm sure people will be upset for me mentioning it on here because it's very local, but it is really just your typical Philadelphia dive bar where you can get a citywide. A citywide is when you get whatever the cheapest beer that the owner of the bar could find that week and a well shot of whiskey. And it's usually between $4 and $6. This is a bar that it's unique in that people from all different walks of life actually all go there. So it's right in a neighborhood that is, I think, the most diverse zip code in the city. It's certainly among the most diverse, if it's not the most diverse. And that is a bar that a lot of people go to. And I will go there to read. People go and they play pool. They're always playing something. Sometimes they have sports on the TV, but they'll also show like Jurassic Park and stuff like that. Like, it's just, it's very West Philly in the most sort of core kind of way.
Well, that's fantastic. I love that, being able just to get away from all the touristy stuff. And again, don't show up in your fanny pack and your, you know, your I Love New York t-shirt or whatever. Like,
if you do, don't tell them I sent you.
Yeah, show up just like in normal clothes and act like a local, and you're going to have a great time, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things I always do whenever I travel is check out the local pizza. So where's the best place for pepperoni pizza in Philadelphia?
Well, first of all, my usual joke answer is Manhattan. But we do have perfectly fine pizza. There's two types of pizza that are good here that I would recommend. One is Wolf Street Pizza, which is in South Philly on Wolf Street. And that's your kind of typical, quote unquote, New York style pizza. It's like a little thinner. It's greasy. You like fold it in half or whatever to eat it. And the other place I really recommend is called Down North Pizza. Down North Pizza is in Strawberry Mansion. which is not a neighborhood people usually go to, but it is owned by somebody who was incarcerated, and he specifically hires people who are returning citizens to give them a chance to get a leg up, because it's really hard to get a job when you've been incarcerated. And so it gives people an opportunity to turn their lives around. And the pizza is really good. Detroit style pizza. So it's that sort of thick crust, square pizzas. And I don't know what they do to their sauce, but it's so good. It's kind of spicy. Like, it's great.
Oh, nice. I like that little extra kick.
Yeah. And it's, and because it's Muslim owned, there's no pork. So you can get a pepperoni pizza there that is beef.
Oh, okay.
And of course, I would never eat meat and cheese together. Don't tell my rabbi. But it's very good.
Yeah, your secret's safe with me. Nobody's going to listen to the episode, so you're safe. Well, right on. Now, I know that you do different tours, helping people experience different aspects of Philadelphia that maybe they wouldn't otherwise understand, like kind of help them like scratch beneath the surface a little bit. So based on that, what's one of your best travel tips for people when they're visiting Philly?
My number one thing is, don't come in with your own preconceived notions. I think this is good wherever you go. People say a lot of stuff about Philly. Philadelphians say a lot of stuff about Philly. And yeah, we're a little grittier. We have an attitude. But like, at the end of the day, people are really lovely. I like to say that people in Philadelphia, they're maybe not nice, but they're kind. People will give you the shirt off their backs. They'll just yell at you while they're doing it. And...
Well, and I mean, if you don't have a shirt, maybe you deserve to get yelled at, because, like, you know, you don't have a shirt, right? And I'm giving you my shirt.
And it's just that there's been a lot of talk about Philly in the news over the last 5 to 10 years, and people come in expecting it to be this like awful, mean, and dangerous place. And at the end of the day, like, Philadelphians are really nice people. We are, like I said, we're a working class city. We are a family city, and we're really old fashioned in that way. And if you're just sort of open and ready for whatever, you're going to have a really great time.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of how I travel anyways. It's like, look, where you go, you're going to be out of your comfort zone a little bit, no matter where, what city you go to. Just be cool and try to fit in and just be nice to people. And undoubtedly they're going to return that. Whatever vibe you give off, they're going to give that vibe back to you.
Yeah.
Well, Vega, I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing all these amazing tips. It's been great talking to you. Can you tell the audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So I am a public historian here in Philadelphia. I have a podcast called Delisters of History, where we talk about people you've never heard of who've changed the world. And we talk about all kinds of interesting people. Some of them are not as known because they're from marginalized communities. Sometimes they're just, you know, there's only so much you can learn in history class. And so it's really fun because we get to really dig in deep with these really incredible characters. People like Uriah Levy, who is the first Jewish commodore in the United States Navy, who also ended the practice of flogging and was just a pain in the butt his entire life to the Navy. It's very good. Or the Chevalier de Saint-Georges, who is a composer in the 18th century in France, who was Black and was more famous than Mozart in his time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And as a musician, his music was decades ahead of his time. So we talk about people like that.
That's fantastic. And then also, you also give tours. So if people are coming to Philly, they can actually find you someplace somehow and get on one of your tours, right?
Sure. Yeah. So if you go to the podcast website, delistersofhistory.com, it's not all built out yet, but there's a tours area where there's links to tours, or you can contact me to schedule a tour. You can also find me on Get Your Guide and Tours by Locals and those sorts of marketplaces. But if you go to the website, delistersofhistory.com, there's contact information there and you can just get in touch with me.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we'll definitely include links to that in the show notes. If somebody has questions about your podcast or about your tours or just about Philly in general, what's the best way to reach you on social media?
We're on Instagram, Delisters of History. And with all of these, there's no hyphen or anything. It's just straight through, Delisters of History. We're also on Threads. We're on Facebook. We're on TikTok. Where else are we? Oh, and I just started a Substack. So if you're a Substack person, we are there too. And really any of those, we keep a pretty close eye on that stuff. Also, just like email. I'm a little old-fashioned.
Right on. Well, again, we'll definitely include links to those in the show notes. It's been great talking to you, and we look forward to seeing you when we travel there.
Yeah, thanks.
What an awesome conversation with Vega. I love the idea of her podcast and how she educates us about important people in history that we've never heard about. And since Philly is known as the birthplace of America, because it was the first meeting place of the First Continental Congress, there's no shortage of history in this city. You can find all the links we talked about and our one-page guide to Vegas tips at wetravelthere.com/Philly. We want to say thank you to Aways for being today's affiliate partner. Aways shares recommendations for the best redemptions of your hotel points in cities around the world. This service even compares cash versus points, so that way you can decide which option is best for your trip. Go to wetravelthere.com/Aways or use my promo code Lee to get $20 off your subscription. If you sign up before Aways Flights launches, you get that feature free once it goes live later this year. Join us next time as we talk to my good friend Rachel Covert of racheltalksmoney.com about the best things to do in Ericeira, Portugal. In this episode, Rachel and I talk about learning how to surf at the World Surf Reserve, attending the Sardine Festival, and touring the Palace of Mafra. We hope you join us when we travel there. I love hearing your feedback about the show. Send me a tweet at WeTravelThere or email me at wetravelthere.com/contact to share your thoughts. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and tell me what you like most. Make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast app. That way you won't miss any of our upcoming destinations.